All right. That is the beginning of our show. Welcome, everyone, to another awesome episode of Geeks Against the Grain by Geek Vibes Nation. I am not Juwan this evening. I'm Tia, filling in for Juwan, and we are going to be going over probably one of the most talked about shows ever, Game of Thrones. After, I believe, a two-year wait, we are finally getting the eighth season on Sunday, and it's just kind of insane to even think about, honestly, just because it's one of the things where we wanted to come back, like, so badly, but now that it's ending, it just almost seems surreal. But before I continue speaking any further, I am going to introduce my amazing co-host for tonight, Marty. Are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me. And it's nice to know that the last time I was with you, I didn't scare you away so bad that you didn't bring me back. And, of course, we're talking Game of Thrones, so I'm always ready for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to kind of catch the audience up, Marty joined me and Kevin on the Top 10, which we do Sundays. And we did this, I believe, a few weeks ago. We did our Game of Thrones top 10. So if you go to gvnation.com, you can find that there. But we also have, because this, you know, we're just doing a little things a little differently this evening. I'm hosting this instead of Juwan. And we actually have Marty's amazing wife with us tonight. I believe your name is Kathy. I'm so sorry.
You don't have to believe it. It's true.
I love the direction that this episode is going already. Kathy, this is her first time on, you know, the show for Geek Vibes Nation. She came in because we just kind of, you know, wanted another person, because as much as I believe that Marty and I would be able to have a riveting conversation, it's always better, the more the merrier. So thank you again, Kathy, for joining in on such a super short notice. Kathy?
Hold on. I think she got called away for a minute. She'll be right back.
All right. Well, so while she does that, this is Geeks Against the Grain. So the format here is kind of where we almost discuss, like, almost debate in a way. Last week we did Spider-Man Homecoming. We've done Suicide Squad. We've done Batman versus Superman. So I do want to start a little bit with us kind of maybe in a little bit of a debate, and I want to start with what we have as unpopular opinions about Game of Thrones. Now, I'm going to start first and just kind of throw a few things out there. One would be, and I so wish Kevin was on this because he would completely just yell at me for this, but one of my unpopular opinions is that Ramsay Bolton was one of my favorite characters. I can't help it that as evil as he was, he made for some damn fine entertainment, and I was a little sad that he was dead. I mean, obviously, it was super satisfying because Sansa was finally able to get the revenge that she so desperately deserved, but I just feel like we haven't really gotten an enemy that could really reach to Ramsay's level, even though obviously we are going to be dealing with the White Walkers, and we do have Euron, but as I said during our top 10 a few weeks ago, I'm just not completely sold on Euron yet being a good villain. And again, I think I said this prior, but I'll repeat, they made it out, and I believe I saw, like, interviews and stuff like that, they made it out that Euron was going to be, like, such a worse villain than Ramsay, and I just haven't seen that just yet. So that's one of my little unpopular opinions, I guess, about Game of Thrones. And the other one, which is probably going to be, like, a bit of dropping a bomb here, is I actually didn't really like the fact that they made Jon Snow a Targaryen. I wanted him to still be a Stark. I like the idea of Ned being his father and almost him being the quote-unquote bastard. It kind of just was what he was during the whole entire show, and him proving against all the odds and rising above all of that, and obviously being in the position that he is now, essentially quote-unquote king of the North, and now we find out he's a Targaryen. So not only do I dislike that because of how it has that Ned's not his father, but then also the fact that, you know, obviously we saw that Jon and Daenerys intermingle, and now we find out that they're related. So that's a little bit of a weird one for me. So, Marty, I'm going to kind of shoot it over to you if you want to comment on both of the points that I made, and then also if you have any unpopular opinions or some things about Game of Thrones that you just maybe disagreed with or maybe didn't enjoy. The floor is yours.
Okay. As far as Ramsay goes, boo, 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 boo. Of course, the actor who played Ramsay did a great job because I hated his freaking guts. And the fact that he died, I had no problem with. I almost wish that we talked about this name thing again. Reek had killed him, because if anybody should have killed him, it should have been him. If the goal was for you to hate him, he did his job. And I guess, you know, there's something to that. One thing that I was kind of curious about at the time that he died, I almost wondered if it was impossible that Sansa was pregnant by Ramsay, because he talked like that, you know, that he basically already, and of course he could have been talking about the fact that basically he was raping her every day. It was how he made his mark on her. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the many theories that I kind of took a note of, was the possibility that she could have been pregnant by Ramsay. But I would think if something like that were to happen, it should have shown last season. I mean, you know, of course, the way they do time in Game of Thrones, it's possible that they would slow that down, but you would have thought by the seventh season, if that were even going to be a case, she would have shown by then. As far as Jon being a Targaryen, I kind of tend to almost agree, per se, because I kind of thought the whole bastard persona, and, you know, that was kind of the thing that kind of motivated him to do what he did, because he was constantly trying to almost live down that bastard title. And, I mean, it, probably even now to him, Jesus Christ, me and my name, I'm telling you. Ned is still, I mean, probably even if he were to find out the truth, he'd still call Ned his father. Because as far as he knew, that was the only father he knew. Though I also wonder, had, you know, with the direction they went, perhaps had Caitlin realized that who Jon's actual parentage was, she wouldn't have been so hard on him. But then again, like I said, part of the fact that she was hard on him also kind of what made kind of him the man that he was.
Yeah, and I really agree with that. One of the things I had been thinking of even before that with the whole show, I really disliked the way Caitlin treated Jon, and I understood that they kind of specifically made that, whatchamacallit, you know, they did that because that would be Jon's motivation, but I was like, and it almost made me really not be sympathetic towards Caitlin and what happened to her, as tragic as it was, but her treatment of Jon, especially in that first season, was just so awful. I know that she was bitter because she believed that Ned had him out of wedlock, you know, as an extramarital affair, but I still was like, you know, damn, like, why do you have to be so harsh on this kid? I mean, it's not his fault. I mean, it would be Ned's fault, but certainly not John's fault. So that was always kind of a problem that I had with Caitlin's character. But I'm glad that you agree with that, Marty, that the bastard moniker was kind of what really made John. So now that we don't, and obviously he doesn't know that he's a Targaryen right now, that's going to be super interesting to see in season 8 once he finds that out. I really wonder what's going to happen between him and Daenerys now at this point. But yeah, so, and Marty, did you have anything that you kind of wanted to touch upon that maybe has always kind of bugged you about Game of Thrones, or, you know, particular characters or plot points?
Well, to be honest with you, what kind of bothered me, and this is probably not the most popular theory, I had a problem, especially like in Battle of the Bastards, I had a problem with Sansa, per se, because I thought she kind of did Jon a little dirty by kind of going behind his back, you know, and I know it ended up helping them in the end, but it just seemed a little wrong for her to keep secrets from him, especially in the situation they were about ready to get into. And then again, she's been through a lot. I understand that. So trust is an issue with her. But I would have thought that if anybody she could have trusted, it could have been John. But that was really my own problem. And me being a sorehead, when she was sitting there with, the Knights of the, with Littlefinger, when the Knights of the Vale came to the rescue, that little smirk she had on her face kind of bugged me. But then, as I said, that's not exactly a popular theory, because most things that she's probably one of the characters that have grown the most. But I just thought, at least in that instance, that she didn't exactly do John any favors by keeping secrets from him at that time.
Yeah, and it's so funny because, and I don't know if I'm like, being blasphemous by saying this, but even though Sansa has grown so much, I still don't exactly like her character.
Well, it's because she's like a spoiled brat.
Yeah, exactly. And she's still maintaining
that. She acts like
a
spoiled brat, and she is a spoiled brat, and all she does is, it's all about her. It's very one-sided as far as everything that her whole motivation is. Well, what's going to happen to me? That's why. Who cares? Who cares what happens to you? You're just kind of like pretty, and she's starting to get a little bit vindictive, and you're kind of almost kind of liking that about her, but honestly, it's still very self-centered, It's not for the good of the family or the good of whatever's happening.
Right, and I 100% agree with that. So, Kathy, would you say in a way that most of the events of Game of Thrones kind of could be pinned back on her? Because if we remember in season 1,
a lot of it's her fault of why everything's happening. Her father got beheaded because of her, and pretty much. And then you're exactly right. That is exactly right. All these things have stemmed from stuff that's because of her self-centered way she is.
Well, now I'm feeling sorry for her. What you've done.
You did feel sorry for her? You shouldn't have felt sorry for her. You didn't feel sorry for her. That's a lie.
Yeah, Marty, it's like she really wanted Joffrey, and she didn't care that Arya's friend was killed because of him. She was a little sad that her direwolf was killed, but besides that, she still then wanted to marry Joffrey, and I'm like, is it, and it was selfish reasons, because she wanted to marry Joffrey so that she could then become a queen, and it's like,
right.
Don't you see that this is, like, not a good idea at all, because now look at what's happened because of it. And I don't know. I never
No, that's, you're exactly right about that. That is exactly right.
I know, and I'm sure that there's going to be, like, so many people that are saying, well, no, you have to feel bad for Sansa, and I'm like, I really don't. I care much more about Arya and her storyline than I do Sansa's storyline. Her only, like, redeeming quality was the fact that she then helped out Jon with the Battle of the Bastards, and I really thought in, like, what, season 7, that she was going to turn on Arya, and I was like, oh no, do not do that, because you will lose all, like, credibility in my book over that. So that's my whole thing. But, Kathy, I'm going to shoot over to you. I know that you commented on Sansa, but is there anything that you'd like to comment on that Marty and I were talking about? And also, if you kind of want to go into maybe things that maybe you have gripes about when it comes to Game of Thrones.
The only gripe I really have about it is that I feel like, oh my God, Martin, I'm doing you now. I can't think of
anything.
Okay,
well, then I'm not the only one.
You know, the guy that goes to the monastery or whatever to go, learn about what the hell?
You mean Sam?
Sam, God, oh my God,
Sam Otero?
Yeah, Sam. I really want him to be, I guess I really want him to be more present in what's happening now. I want him out of that where he is now. But I can tell you one thing: that whole episode where he was in there and scooping up soup and scooping up crap and cleaning cages and it was the most disgusting episode. I think they could have just done one pass on that. I don't really think we needed to see 58 passes on that poor guy. Anyway, and things that was one thing that really bugged me about that, because I don't mind watching people get killed. I don't mind watching them getting sliced in half or whatever with giant swords. That doesn't bother me, but that was disgusting and probably not necessary. And I feel sorry for him, and I want him to be. I want him to come out victorious somehow, because he's really put up with a lot of literal crap. So, that's one thing. So I'll throw that back to you guys while I think of other stuff.
Well, he's got a Valyrian sword now. He's ready to go.
That's right. That's right. He could kill the Night King, and that would be awesome.
I
kind of
do
claim to fame is.
You never know. It could be like some sort of underrated character like him. We're all expecting it to be someone like Jon, but you never know. It's like he could just come out completely victorious and in this situation, and probably, to be honest, one of the few that's most likely going to live past season 8.
Yes,
I believe that.
What'd you say, Marty?
I said, I believe that. I said, I believe that chances are he's going to make it through. We'll probably get into this, but there's a number of them I think are going to make it through, and then there's some that I thought were going to make it through, but after I give it some more thought, I think they're probably going to die.
It's funny because Mike was, Mike couldn't make it tonight on the episode. But he was saying that anyone that I say that I think is going to be killed probably will be killed, because apparently I'm really good at predicting when, like, actors are going to leave movies, like I did with Ben Affleck and Ezra Miller. So I'm going to restrain from saying who I think is going to die in season 8 just yet, and actually move it along to you, Marty. And we'll talk about a bunch of things, just because that's usually how, like, Geeks Against the Grain goes. We kind of like go all over, but Marty, who is it that A, you think is going to die, and who you actually like want to die?
Okay, now we've talked about this. There's plenty of people I want to die. Let's talk about who I think is going to die, but I initially did not, and to be honest with you, that was Jon. I somehow thought in the beginning that he was somehow going to make it through. You know, he already died once. But actually, an article I had written just recently where the writers talked about they were concerned that Kit Harington didn't like the storyline they had for him. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, if you're afraid that Kit doesn't like the storyline you have for him, you must kill him off, because I can't think of a reason why he would say, oh, man, I survived. That sucks. So I'm just judging from that. I'm almost tempted to believe that John is going to die at some point, and I believe more than likely he's going to do it while basically sacrificing himself to save Daenerys. That would be sad, but I got a feeling that he was brought back for a purpose, and maybe that is his purpose, is to protect Daenerys. You know, and for all I know, Daenerys might be pregnant with his child, even though she was told she can't have one. I mean, I said that was a witch who told her. I mean, right, as John told us, I mean, what kind of how much faith can you have in what she tells you? So, like I said, I initially thought John was going to live, but I'm pretty much now convinced that he's going to die. As far as who needs to die, let's go ahead and just start on the Clegane Bowl. The Mountain needs to die. I mean, though some would tell you that he's already dead. But I look forward to seeing that bout, and I really would expect that the Hound is going to kill him.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I really hope that the Hound kills the Mountain. If they try and pull, like, some 180 on us and have the Mountain kill the Hound, I'm going to be seriously upset, because I think we've spoken about this, but I love the Hound. I forget the actor's name because I'm also terrible with names, but he's definitely one of my favorite characters in the entire show of Game of Thrones. So I don't expect him to... Sorry, go ahead, Kathy.
No. I was going to say, I like him a lot, too. He's a smart aleck, and he really, he's awesome. I love that. I love his smart aleck, everything that he does. And he does it. He's another one who's purely all about himself, too. So, and I like that about him. So it's more attractive on a guy, I guess, than it is on a girl.
I agree. Yeah.
You know what it is, though? The Hound doesn't try to, like, mask the fact that he's all about him and his own survival. The problem with Sansa is that she keeps, like, ping-ponging back and forth between her family and then her own selfishness. So I think that's why we kind of forgive the Hound a little more than we forgive Sansa. But I don't expect the Hound to outlive season 8, that being said. I don't expect it to happen just because I feel like he's going to die a warrior's death, which, you know, would be fine. I don't know if you guys read the books, but in the books, because I think I read, like, the first two or three, because as soon as I watched Game of Thrones, I completely, like, dove in and needed to read everything about it ever. But you never see the Hound again after his fight, you know, with Brienne. So the fact that they brought him back is completely the show doing that. So I do think that he's going to die season 8. I don't expect most of the people to live, honestly, after this. I think Jaime Lannister is going to die, even though I wouldn't want him to, because I actually do quite like Jaime. But that being said, let me stop rambling here. But Kathy, who do you think is going to die in season 8? And then who would you really want to see die in season 8? This is very morbid. Very morbid talk here right now.
Who do I want to see die? Well, Cersei. Who doesn't want to see her die? I want to see her die twice. If she could die twice, that would be good. We could kill her and then kill her again.
Nice. You might kill John.
I say, hey, you kill John once, you got to be able to kill her twice.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Cersei, though, I have, like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But you kind of need her in there. She's such a pill. She has to be there. She needs to be there because she's so vindictive and so just, she's just such a terrible person. She's almost like John Bolton. You kind of need him, like you needed him just to just force all the other crap that was going on, making Jamie, you know, be the way he is. But he's sick of her now. He's sick to death of her. And I think that probably, I feel like he may be the death of her. I don't know. I think he's going to just about have been pushed to the point of wanting her dead. And that's just what I think. That's what I think's going to happen.
Tell me that it wasn't such a satisfying scene to see Jamie just walk away from Cersei finally. I mean, I kind of thought that the mountain was going to kill him. I was like, wow, this is Cersei betraying Jamie, or just, you know, too far into her own power hunger that she can't even see that, like, you know, that she should spare Jamie. But when he rode away from her on the horse and he put a glove over his gold hand to kind of cover it because it's like he couldn't even look at it, I thought that was a great scene.
That was. It was great. That was great.
Yeah,
so
I really enjoyed that.
I like the look on her face, almost like she was almost mad at the mountain because he didn't kill him.
Like, yeah, because he didn't kill
him. He didn't realize that she really meant it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. All I thought to myself was, yeah, go, get out, come back and kill her later.
Yeah, no, you needed her alive for season 8. And I think, Marty, you and I talked about this along with Kevin on our top 10, but we can talk about it again really quick. I don't think Cersei is pregnant at all. I think she completely made that up.
Well, my theory.
No, I definitely think she's making that up. I think that's just all about, you know, she's too old anyway.
They almost have to make one of them pregnant, either Cersei or Daenerys, and I think out of the two of them, Daenerys definitely has more of a chance of being pregnant than Cersei does.
I mean, but think about it. Cersei's old now. She had kids that were older. You know, her kids were that young.
My only thing is you do have to think about the fact that, like, is she really that old? Or is she, you know, because with Game of Thrones, you know, you have to think about, like, the world that they live in. She must have had children quite young, like, younger than maybe you would have thought about it.
Yeah, that's true, too. But still, I mean, it looks like the average age of, I mean, it's kind of medieval time type of. I mean, I realize the men are old. They get old, but they always get old like that. It's the women who are the childbearing women who end up dying off quicker because of that very reason, because of childbearing and that kind of thing. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, well, listen, she's acting like she's pregnant. Obviously, she's not too old to not too old to not act like it.
Right. I completely agree. Yeah. I just think that she was faking it Cersei was faking it in order to gain the upper hand there and obviously manipulate her way, because that's what she does. And that's why we kind of love that character, because she is just so good at manipulation. That's just her thing.
Hater.
You love to hate Cersei. Let me ask you, how would you react if at the end of everything, and I know that we got to get into the theories for season 8, and I know that Marty has his list, but how would you react if at the end of season 8, Cersei was actually the one still standing.
Oh no, I would not. That would not be good. That would not. I would not be happy about that. That would not be a happy event. Though very possible, but it doesn't feel like what should happen. You know, it doesn't feel like that's the. That would almost be an abomination of the whole damn thing. But okay.
And I will. Well, you know, I will say that Game of Thrones always has this, like, knack of, you know, giving us what we want, but also throwing us for a loop at the same time. So, Marty, I'll address the question to you. How would you feel if at the end of Season 8, Cersei was the one left standing?
I think we discussed this before, and, of course, you know that I would think that would suck, but it would certainly be very Game of Thrones-y if she somehow went through it all. Of course, you know, we were talking about the pregnancy thing. There is theories. There is a theory, actually, that's out there that she is pregnant and she dies in childbirth, which, you know, the prophecy is saying that she gets killed by I believe it's supposed to be a younger sibling, but in this case it wouldn't be a younger sibling, but I guess it would be her baby that ends up killing her. But then again, as I said, I don't believe she's pregnant at all. Like I said, it would not shock me, but yeah, that would not be my favorite way for it to end, for her to be on the Iron Throne at the very end. But like I said, probably if anybody's ruthless enough to somehow survive this whole thing, it'd be Cersei.
It would. She's just so manipulative. And I almost feel like I kind of want Tyrion to be the one to kill her. Because Tyrion obviously has had a relationship with Jaime, and they had that meetup and everything. And even since the beginning of the show, Jaime has always been a little nicer to Tyrion than Cersei has been. She has always been just hateful towards Tyrion, and I kind of feel like that would be justice. And we've already seen that Tyrion had, you know, the strength, the nerve, whatever you want to say, to kill his father. So, Marty, do you think it's kind of possible that Tyrion would be able to be the one to kill Cersei, or would you think that no, that's not justice enough?
I think it's possible, but if you go by the prophecy of the younger sibling killing her, then Tyrion fits under that criteria. As we've seen, he had no problem killing his father. He had no problem killing his lover who betrayed him. So the only thing that it would tend to kind of stop me is, you know, if we were to go under the assumption that she is pregnant. Now, if there's nothing else, Tyrion did love Cersei's children, you know, so that might be a problem. But then again, if you were to find out she wasn't pregnant and was basically, you know, lying about the whole thing, yeah, I could see Tyrion killing her.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't think it's going to happen. I just think that Tyrion needs some sort of justice. And I also kind of think that he might die as well. Kathy, do you see Tyrion outliving season 8?
Oh yeah, I do. I definitely see him. I feel like he will be one of the ones that is still there. I really do. And though I would not put it past him to kill his sister at all, but. I know that he would probably, if he did that, it would have to be because of one more horrible thing that, even though Cersei's done so many horrible things anyway, but it would have to be that like with her, maybe if Cersei killed Jaime, then he would kill her.
I feel like that's kind of how it's going to happen. It's going to have to be, I can't believe you did this kind of, you know, you've already done so many monstrous things, and now you killed my only blood relative who actually cares about me a little bit, and now I will kill you. So, you know, I don't know. I think that would have to be how it would go down a little bit with him killing her. But I definitely think he will survive, only because he has been the survivor. He's been the survivor so far. He lucked out and survived somehow, some way, and, you know, that's it. So that's how I feel about it.
If it were the case that Daenerys was pregnant, and by some sort of means she gives birth, and then Jon and Daenerys end up dying, I feel like almost Tyrion would be the one to take care of the baby, and at least if he's like one of the only survivors, he's the one who's kind of responsible to tell this child the whole story of Game of Thrones. That's like one of my little like theories there. But I guess we can kind of move on to that. So, Marty, I know that you got a list, and I want to really hear the theories that you have for season 8.
Okay, let's start out with one of the ones that I never thought about this, but I, you know, in doing my research, I read it, and I'm going to put it out there, but I don't believe it's possible. And this, I kind of wish Kevin was here because he could probably explain it better. But the theory is that when the Night King and all of his whites attack Winterfell, they somehow bring up the dead from the Winterfell's burial site, you know, basically having the bringing back the dead Starks to attack them. Number one, I'm not sure exactly, you know, because every time I've ever seen them revive dead, they're usually fresh dead. They're not ones that have been on the ground for, 100 years or so. So to me, that I can't see something like that working. Number one, I feel like Ned, he's just bones now. For a plot twist, that would be nice, but I just don't think it's plausible, mainly because most of the people we're talking about, you know, other than like Recon, have been dead for a long time, so there's really not a whole lot to bring up.
Yeah, I don't really see that, because I did kind of hear people theorizing that maybe Ned comes back. And correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm just not remembering because it has been a while, unfortunately, since I've watched Game of Thrones, but isn't Ned's head still in King's Landing?
I never saw it return. I know they returned his bones, supposedly, back to Winterfell, but they never made any mention to his head. Besides, again, I'm not sure how you bring back a headless person.
Exactly. So I don't necessarily see that happening. I think that's just kind of one of those things that maybe people would think that it's pretty cool to raise up an army of the dead of characters that we've seen come and go. But I just don't see that particularly happening, especially not in not in Ned's case. But Marty, what were some of the other theories that you got for us?
All right, so let's, again, I think we talked about this a little bit, and one of the theories, of course, was, you know, if Jon would die, how he would die. And again, we've talked about this. The theory is that basically he would, you know, they keep talking about the prince that was promised, and then they said that it could be the princess that was promised, so then it would be like a choice between Jon and Daenerys if they're the case here, where Jon would sacrifice himself for Daenerys, which, like I said, is almost how I'm betting if Jon dies, that's how it's going to happen. So in that kind of sense would make Daenerys the princess that was promised, that's supposed to bring all this back to light. But so I don't really have a problem with this. And this, like I said, I kind of believe that Jon is going to die in protecting, and especially, you know, say you find out that Daenerys is pregnant, that would be a very, you know, Jon thing to do, is to sacrifice himself, you know, for good this time to save Daenerys.
And I definitely don't see John surviving the series. I think he'll die in the very last episode, but I don't see him surviving necessarily. Kathy, what do you think about that particular theory of John sacrificing himself for Daenerys's safety?
I agree with that theory. I really like that theory. And it makes me feel happy about that theory, but it's probably not going to happen. I got to be honest with you. I feel like the two of them may end up going down in at the same time. And I feel like I would love for Tyrion to be the one at the end, probably. And I kind of feel like maybe it ends up being Cersei that takes down Jon and Daenerys, possibly. And then somehow or another, I'm not sure. I feel like somehow then when Cersei I feel like she's going to be gotten rid of, and then it's, oh my God, what's her lover brother's name? Oh my God.
Jamie.
Sorry. I had brain.
You're making me look good. Keep it up.
I know. I'm doing it for you, babe. That's what I'm here for. I'm always here to make you look good.
Thanks.
But anyway, yeah, Jamie might end up being, Jamie ends up killing Cersei, then Jamie ends up dying for whatever reason. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he poisons himself as he kills her. Who knows? But I kind of feel like that. I feel like maybe Jon and Daenerys go down together, and ends up leaving Tyrion really at the end. But that's just a thought. That's a thought. I don't know.
They
make sure that you're fooled by it all, so it who knows how it will go down.
And listen, that's what really this is all about, just kind of theorizing what is going to happen, because it's such a big event. There's only 6 episodes in the last season, but we're hearing that they're going to be literally mini movies. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen in season 8. And I wanted to kind of move on to Euron really quick, because I have 2 theories for him. I feel like either he's going to kill Jaime, or Jaime's going to kill Euron, and I know that Theon is not necessarily the most favorite of characters for people, but I really liked him. I just felt bad for him the whole show, even when he was messing up and still betraying people. But I think that he sees that he was a coward and let his sister be taken by their uncle, and I think that he is now on his quest to make things right. But I feel like that's going to, be Theon's end. But I also think that it would just be such justice if he was the one to take Euron down. So, Marty, what do you kind of think about that? Do you see Theon taking down Euron and avenging him, or do you think that Euron is going to end up killing Theon?
I would love to see Theon kill Euron. Mainly you say, because I'd just like to see Theon come out on top, because that man has been through a lot. And as you talked about before, so far Euron hasn't impressed me a whole lot. But that would be so much a poetic justice if Theon were to end up killing Euron. And if he does that in, while rescuing his sister, that would be great. Theon's going to really have to strap it up, though, because he was really beaten down by Ramsay. And for him to come up and kill Euron, he's really going to have to find the Theon that he used to be. Maybe he will. I kind of hope he will, but in the end, though, I really agree. I see Euron and Theon dying.
Yeah. I don't see Theon making it through the season. That's the thing. I just really don't see a lot of them making it through. I would like for Theon to, but I think that Theon kind of knows that he needs to complete this mission and it could possibly kill him. And I feel like as long as Theon dies at sea, because, you know, they're Ironborn, then he would be okay with it. Kathy, how do you feel? Like, do you want Theon to be the one to defeat Euron, or do you kind of, you know, not really care about Theon's character like a lot of people don't?
No, I think I like Theon as far as I need. It's almost like he needs to redeem himself. He needs to. When I say redeem himself, I mean really the character, not, you know, he himself has been, as Martin has said, and you guys has been beat down, and he is just a shell of a man that he ever was. But of course, remember what he was before. He was a big jackass. So, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, when you remember what he was before he started getting, you know, taken advantage of by what's his name?
Ramsay.
You know, he was he was just a jerk, and you kind of didn't mind when he started getting his butt kicked by him. But then you started feeling bad for him because he was just really terrorizing the poor guy. But he was a jackass before. But I don't know that he was. He wasn't like Ramsay. Ramsay was ruthless, horrible person. And, I mean, he killed people for sport. You know, that was – Ramsay was that kind of guy, whereas Theon was just more of a jerk. And I don't know, but I feel like I want him to maybe gather up, you know, gird up his loins and, you know, try to do something that would make him not be so wimpy and beat down from Ramsay. And, you know, oh, that's right, he doesn't have any them anymore. But anyway.
Stop that.
He could pretend. but anyway. But, yeah, just something to that would kind of at least make him or make him appear to be a little bit tough against something or have courage, have conviction on doing, you know, doing something for the good and killing be a good way to do that since he's another jerk. So, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about that one.
I have to say really quick, I just love that Kathy's assessment is they're a jerk or they're a jackass. I love it. Like, I don't hear that often on these shows, and it's like that is a perfect description, and we're going to keep that going. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I always felt bad for Theon just because you have to understand, and not to get too much into it, but, you know, he was taken when he was a little child, and I guess you can argue that he was probably treated even better than Jon Snow was, but just maybe because he had his friendship with Robb Stark, so that's about it. But Marty, did you have any other theories that you kind of wanted to touch upon for season 8?
Okay. Let's talk about the possibility that Tyrion and Cersei made some kind of arrangement during season 7. Because you notice that they were talking to each other. She basically kind of let Tyrion know that she was pregnant. Next thing you know, they're walking out of the castle. But you don't know what was said. So there's the theory that somehow that Tyrion and Cersei came to a deal, and this was basically with the idea that Daenerys cannot have children, that somehow that if for some reason Daenerys I think basically if for some reason Daenerys ends up with the throne but ends up dying, that Cersei's child will somehow get the be next in succession. And how that would work, I have no idea. But it did seem a little strange when you didn't get to hear what they were talking about until they came out, supposedly like a deal had been made, but you don't know what that deal is. So that's kind of the theory. Now, I mean, we'll guess we'll find out as the episodes come up, but I can see where that theory would come up from.
Wow, I had never heard that theory, and that's pretty crazy if that is the case. And maybe that's why Tyrion had that really... That's the thing. This is like such a topic of discussion. Why the hell Tyrion looked so weird when he was just staring at the door, you know, and Jon and Daenerys were on the other side. And almost if he's looking like that he just had that conversation with Cersei and he knows, like, what's about to happen, that would be crazy, Marty. That would be crazy.
Well, see, and actually, that was the last point that I forgot, and I'm glad you said it. Is right. Is they would explain why he looked so weird, because you say, if she ends up getting pregnant, that's messing up the deal I made with Cersei.
Oh, I wouldn't like that at all. I wouldn't like that at all, because I don't want Tyrion to make any sort of deals with Cersei.
Yeah, I think
let's not do that.
I think that maybe that is what's gonna happen. That, I didn't even know that. That was a good one, honey.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. You know what? You never know. This is Game of Thrones, and everyone. We talked about selfishness before, but I think that everyone is kind of out for themselves in this next season. And if this is how Tyrion thinks that he's going to end up on top, then, or at least end up surviving, then maybe that would be really crazy. Oh gosh. Kathy, do you have any theories for season 8 that you kind of wanted to touch upon a little?
I don't. This has probably been one of the best series I've ever seen. I cannot stand it when I see something that you can just absolutely figure out from one minute to the next. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. And you just, and it follows that thought process that you – and you're just going, yeah, that's going to be what happens next. This will be what happens next. That is not what happens around here in Game of Thrones. It's always a big turn. It's always a, dang, why did that guy have to die? Like, why did Hodor have to die? You know, it's like all those things. That, I know, but he's just like, what was the point of that? Why did that have to happen, and then there's the good ones when they die, like, when – Ramsay got eaten by his own dog. That was awesome. I loved that. I felt kind of sorry for him a little bit, but not really, and because he stinks, he was a terrible jerk, and he deserved to get eaten by dogs. So, and he deserved to be eaten by dogs because he was a dog. So there you go. I don't have anything that I think that would be really an intelligent thing to say at the moment. So,
that's not me yet.
That's true.
I'm walking into season 8 with just the expectations that we are just going to see some crazy shit going on and that it's going to be intense. I guess it's not so much a theory, it's just a hope. And I think we were talking about this earlier, that I just really want to see the Hound and the Mountain finally get their smackdown going on, because we haven't had a confrontation between them since season 1. And I don't know if you guys know this, I'm sure that Marty does, but the thing that's called the Clegane Bowl, which is Mountain and Hound against each other, and I think that's going to be a crazy battle, because the two of them are just going to go at it, and it's going to be brutal as hell. So that's something that I definitely want to see in the next season. I know that people are really, like, pumped to potentially see Jon Snow riding a dragon. And that would be just, like, that's going to be, like, whoa. That, just think of, like, the visual shots. That's just going to be an insane moment. And then see that he has control over the dragon, and just kind of maybe that's where they touch upon the Targaryen blood. But, Mari, do you have any other theories that you looked up and want to touch upon?
Okay, so next we're going to talk about Bran. Now, we know that Bran has a point in this because they keep saying that, you know, that when he became the Three-Eyed Raven, that he needed to be ready at the time because he was going to somehow help defeat the Night King. One of the theories that they came up with is that Bran is the Night King. And they base that basically on the, you know, the deal that he can kind of go back in time and affect, you know, how things, you know, of course, he warped into Hodor, which kind of screwed him up, bad on Bran. But somehow they were thinking that maybe that he went back trying to basically stop the Night King from being created in the first place to prevent the war, and instead somehow ended up being the Night King. Which, I mean, the way they do that thing with Bran, that wouldn't shock me any. As a matter of fact, it was actually a theory I kind of had, you know, back when he did the Hodor thing, that would be possible. Then I also thought that maybe at some point how he helps is if he's able to ward into the Night King, he might be able to get him to hold up long enough for someone, you know, to take it to a Valyrian steel sword or whatever and kill the Night King. And as we've already seen, when the person who creates all these whites gets killed, all the whites they created go down too. And the Night King has created a bunch of these people, so you take him down, you take out a whole bunch of folks. And of course, that's the other problem fighting the, you know, the Night King and his whites, is that for every person they kill, he can bring them up and add them to his army. So, I mean, after a while, it's just a number situation where you run ragged. So let's talk about Bran possibly as the Night King.
Ooh, I saw that theory, and people on the internet who are really good at, like, Photoshop and stuff like that actually kind of went into the Night King and saw that, like, his face is very similar to Bran's. And I kind of wasn't on board with it, but the more that you were talking about it, I thought, wow, maybe it's possible, and maybe that's, like, a big twist that we're going to see in season 8. And if that is true, then, wow, hopefully then it can be then the case of Bran using it to stop the Night King. Bran has always been, like, an iffy character for me. I don't know if that's, like, okay to say, but he's always just been a little bland, and I've never really been that interested in his storyline, just to be honest, just to kind of throw that out there. But, yeah, that would be a crazy theory. Kathy, do you have any comments about that?
Well, Martin had mentioned that to me, and all I was thinking was, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So I kind of think it's a pretty interesting theory. I would not debunk that at all. It was very it's a very well thought out theory, because of everything that we've been learning about Bran, what is it for? You know, when he touched the Night King, and you know when they crushed and it became, you know, he was starting to see those things. I felt like that was, you know, when Martin started talking about that, I was like, man, that is the whole deal right there. That makes a lot of sense. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I always make a lot of sense, so you keep on, talking.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Marty?
Oh, I was just telling her that I always make a lot of sense. She should listen to me more.
We're not going to get into that on this show, but No, but that's a great point to bring up, Marty, about Bran being the Night King. That was certainly for people who may not have, because there's certain people out there. I know that Joelle, who's one of the main honchos at Geek Vibes Nation, doesn't really like the theorize. So if you're a type of person like him and you're not looking into anything because you just want to go in with a fresh slate and that shit actually happens with the Night King and Bran, that's going to blow people's minds. I think that if they do go that route, Game of Thrones is going to do a really good job in executing it. So, yeah, that's wow. All right. Marty, I'm just continuously going to you tonight for this because you did a ton of research, and I always really appreciate that. What else is on your list?
Okay. Yeah, I got control. This is great. Okay, so now this is a theory that Tyrion kind of went over with Daenerys numerous times, basically kept reminding her who her father was, and that she needed to kind of, you know, rein in some of her more aggressive impulses. This is one where basically where there, this seems more like a fear than anything else, that Dany will kind of overstep her bounds and be kind of almost like the Mad Queen, where she just will kind of start taking out everybody. This one, I mean, I think she's got a little better control of herself than that. But I could see, you know, and then basically they're basing it kind of on what she did to the, it's your turn to help me out, dear.
Dickon? Sorry.
Yes, thank you. To the Tarleys, you know, they thought that maybe she didn't need to sit there and burn them all to death. But again, you know, that was their choice. They chose not to bend the knee. So, it's not like she didn't warn them. So that was kind of the theory that somehow that she was going to, you know, overstep and become sort of like the Mad Queen. And you can't see these air quotes I'm giving you here. Let's talk about that for a bit.
Yes. It's funny because I think that was being brought up when exactly she killed Dickon, that could she follow suit in her family's footsteps, especially because, you know, she has the dragons, which has always been the fear of people. And would she then kind of become like her ancestors? Now, this is the thing. Someone pointed out, you know, everyone really threw a fit when that whole thing happened, when she killed the Tarleys. But someone pointed out, you know, in the first episode of Game of Thrones, Ned beheads a guy because the guy, you know, escaped, I think, the Night Watch. And then we've seen a few other examples throughout the series. So what really makes a difference between Ned beheading someone and Daenerys executing people who are refusing to bend the knee? I think that she is just having to be stern and having to kind of stand her ground because she is the quote-unquote last Targaryen that we knew up until obviously the Jon revelation, but she was the last Targaryen, and she knew that everyone knew her family's reputation and had a stigma about her, and she just couldn't allow people to really just not be on her side. I know that sounds maybe like it's supporting that theory a little, but I don't think she's going to become a Mad Queen. She knows what it's like to be repressed. She knows what it's like to be overlooked. I think that, let's say if she did finally sit on the Iron Throne, she's not going to become like him. She freed the unsullied, she freed slaves. I don't see her necessarily becoming, as you said, Marty, air quotes, the Mad Queen. I just think that that was one extreme example that people are holding on to a little and thinking that that's really defining her, when we've seen throughout this series plenty of examples of other people in power essentially doing the same thing. They just didn't burn people alive with dragons, although we've seen people burnt alive before. Kathy, I'm gonna shoot it over to you for your comments.
Because exactly that. Because she has these dragons and she's burning everybody to death like a maniac. I mean, my goodness. I mean, she took out a whole freaking, a whole army of people with the dragons and burnt them to crisp and burnt the guys to a crisp. You know, oh my God. There's this feel like, and maybe I'm not thinking this through right, but I feel like that's a little more crazy than like slicing somebody with a sword or you know, launching a bunch of rocks at them or whatever they do, you know, as far as trying to have war with people or even shooting them with fireballs. That's one thing. But it's like a firefight with a giant can of spraying a lighter. Here you go. We're gonna kill you all now. So I don't know. That just sounds a little crazy to me, a little bit over the top. But yeah, but yet very effective and efficient to get rid of a whole bunch of people at once.
So would you say, Kathy, you can kind of see the theory of the quote-unquote Mad Queen actually coming to fruition?
Absolutely, because I think she's just a little bit this side of nutty anyway. I mean...
Okay.
I do think she's a little nutty. And I can see that being definitely.
Well, she definitely, we've seen, right, even though Drogo died very early on in the series, that she still has a bit of, you know, that kind of mentality, what being married to Drogo really taught her. And I don't think necessarily maybe it's the quote-unquote Targaryen blood. I think that she has really just, like, taken what her deceased husband kind of instilled in her and using that moving forward. I don't know if I can see the Mad Queen thing coming into fruition. I feel like that would almost be a little too much of a full circle if it's like, hey, we rooted for her this whole entire series, you know, for her to finally get the throne back, and it was actually the worst idea because she's just fulfilling the whole Targaryen, you know, prophecy or something, so to speak. So I don't know. I don't know, Kathy. I'm going to say that that's not going to happen, but it did shock me when she had those guys burnt alive. But listen, it's war. It is war, and if you got dragons on your side, you're going to use the dragons that are on your side because no one else has dragons except for now the White Walkers, which is going to be insane. I kind of see the dragons die. This is it. I just think everyone's going to die, as I said before, but I kind of see the dragons dying too. I don't see them making it out. Something's going to kill them. And then there's going to be no more dragons in the world anymore. Do you guys kind of support that theory or not support that theory? I'll go to Marty for that.
I mean, actually, I kind of believe that, right, I tend to believe they're both going to end up dying because, I'd be honest with you, I just don't see how they're going to survive the upcoming war because we've already seen that the Night King knows how to take them down. I kept trying to think of scenarios how that would work out, but somehow, yeah, I tend to agree. I tend to believe that somewhere along the line that which would be a blow to her power because those dragons are, them and the Dothraki are pretty much her, a main part of her power base. So losing those dragons would be a blow. Her hope better be is that when she loses them, she's pretty much got the battle under hand, so she can continue with just using the Unsullied and the Dothraki. I would be honest with you, I'd be kind of surprised if the dragons lasted through to the end.
I'm so glad that you mentioned the Dothraki, because that's who I was trying to think of, and I couldn't remember. We're just really bad with names, apparently. But I think Kathy's call dropped, or maybe she had to step away.
Her call dropped, so she's in here with me.
Oh, okay, cool. But yeah, so Daenerys becoming the Mad Queen, ooh, you know, I always kind of like wanted a little bit of a conflict between Daenerys and Jon, just because I don't think that the two are going to mesh well with each other. I think that it's going to be one of those things where they're going to get to the end, and then it's suddenly going to be like, well, you know, Jon is the rightful heir to the throne, and Daenerys is like, no, mother effer, I've been waiting for this my entire, you know, life, and this has been my journey this whole entire time. You're not going to take this away from me. So I think that that's going to add a little bit of conflict. So what really kind of do you guys think about that?
That's kind of why I think that they'll go down together. So not necessarily with in loving arms down together, but definitely it may be a situation where they just basically kill each other.
Really?
I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to go down together, and it might just be that way because he doesn't really want – I don't think Jon wants anything to do with the Iron Throne, really. I don't think he wants to be the one who sits on the Iron Throne. I just don't think that's what he was about. I think that people just keep going to him because he is the one who is the most thoughtful of all these people. He's the one who is not the crazy one. He's not a Cersei. He's not a Daenerys. He's not any of these people that have designed to be on that throne. He's not one of them. And I feel like it's going to be thrown on Jon, and then like you were saying, Daenerys is not gonna stand for it. And then they'll just end up, he'll be like, wait a minute. And then she'll be like, yeah, no, kind of wait a minute. And then it'll be like, wait a minute, I'm going to protect myself. Then you're not going to kill me, so I'll kill you. That's what's going to happen.
I don't like any of that. Bad. No.
It's all good. It's all good.
I agree that Jon is not going to want the throne. I don't think Jon, if he were to find out he's a Targaryen, that he really wanted to be a Targaryen. Not that he has any choice. But I think the problem is, though, is if he finds out that he's related to Daenerys, I think his pride would kind of step in and say that we can't be involved because I'm related to you. Not, you know, I know Targaryens didn't have a problem with it, but I think Jon's kind of
upbringing.
Right. Well, you know, he's almost got this kind of innocent thing about it where he would have a problem with it. So I imagine that if they're going to have a problem, it's going to be that, where he's going to have a problem with the fact that they're related. The trick is going to be, though, is, I mean, if, you know, Bran tells him, you know, okay, yeah, I saw in a vision you guys are related, so, okay, why should I believe that? And, of course, Sam can say, well, I saw a thing in there about how they were their wedding was annulled. Okay, so what else you got? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I definitely don't think that Jon will want to continue the relationship just because not only is there a bit of an innocence to him, but I almost feel like, you know, everyone has kind of scoffed at Cersei and Jaime's relationship, them being obviously brother and sister. So to Jon, it's kind of like,
that's,
well, I don't want to be like a Lannister. I'm sorry?
That's a little bit closer with brother and sister rather than kind of sort of related. Niece and nephew. It don't sound only half as bad as brother and sister.
But I still feel like Jon would have fun. He'd be like, that is just too much like Cersei and Jaime, and I don't want that with Daenerys.
I agree with that, though. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's just, and I agree. Brother and sister is way too close with it. But honestly, sometimes I forget that they're supposed to be related to each other just because, I don't know, I just like the relationship
have
so much.
How they act towards each other.
Yeah, no,
they,
I was just
they,
never.
They do act like, yeah, they act like married people.
Yeah, I don't know. My theory is that Jamie and Brianne are going to secretly discover that they love each other, and then Jamie's going to die in Brianne's arms. That's just my theory there, just because.
Oh, that's right. You want Jamie and Brianne together, yeah.
You know, Marty, I wrote the little article where I wrote about the couples that I wish would get together, and I definitely wrote Jamie and Brianne in there just because they have chemistry. They definitely have more chemistry together than Jamie and Cersei will ever have, but that's just me.
but their chemistry is very respectful of each other, and I like that. It's almost a passionate respect for each other.
Well, she had to. She kicked his ass.
That's right.
I know that Marty is, I think, advocate for Brienne and Tormund to get together, which, you know, would be fine. I'd be fine with that, too, if that happened. I mean,
that's a redhead. That's a redhead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking about that giant blonde woman. Whatever he called it.
Yeah, I mean, he was completely smitten by her as soon as he saw her. It was adorable. So maybe that happens too, and that'll be completely fine. But, Marty, do you got any more theories for us right now?
Okay, since we're talking Targaryens, let's talk about the idea that Tyrion is actually a Targaryen. And the theory here was that Tywin's wife, Joanna, the Mad King Aerys was obsessed with Joanna, and they're thinking that maybe that, now whether that's a rape or consensual or whatever it was, that somehow that Tyrion is the child of Joanna and Aerys, which would also explain why he was able to take the collars off the dragons without them eating them. And, of course, also they talked about where Tywin's final words to Tyrion were, "You're no son of mine," which, you know, if he was the child of his wife and Aerys Targaryen, yeah, you're right, he wouldn't be a child of his.
That's an interesting theory, because with Tywin saying that to Tyrion, I do believe it was just kind of in that moment where he's disowning him, but it maybe could have happened because, and I don't want to say anything that is really going to be offensive or anything like that. It's not meant to be come off this way at all, but the Targaryens are known for their long line of incest, and maybe the fact that Tyrion came out to be, you know, a shorter person could maybe have explained that, because he's the only one in the Lannisters. And I know that sounds bad, and I'm not meaning that like in a disrespectful way at all. I love, like, you know, Peter Dinklage a lot.
That's what happens in the gene pool when you keep mixing the same genes up all the time. You get that's what happens. I mean, there's a gene. You're diluting the gene pool, so there's no good genes are getting in there. But that makes great sense, though. It's just like that's why a lot of in England, many of their line were idiots, because, you know, they just diluted the gene pool too much with their own blood.
So maybe that, you know, could explain that. I'm not sure. I'm still, though, not sure how sold I am on that, but it would be hilarious that you know, Daenerys thought she was the last Targaryen, and all of a sudden it's like, no, everyone's a Targaryen, apparently. John's a Targaryen, Tyrion's a Targaryen, you've had family all along, and you never knew it, Daenerys. Forget that awful brother that you had, who, oh God, what was his name?
I don't know, another jerk. Doesn't even matter.
You remember in the first season, Tyrion had blonde hair.
Oh, yes, he did. He did have blonde hair, which never made sense that they completely, like, changed his hair, like, afterwards. They're like, you know what? You need curly, reddish-brown hair. And it's like, but he had, like, straight blonde hair in the first season. Get your shit together. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Peter Dinklage was like, I'm tired of you guys dyeing my hair. I want to have
my hair
free.
Right.
And that's it.
It's really ruining my hair.
who knows? Maybe Game of Thrones could come out and throw some crazy stuff our way. And if they said that Tyrion was a Targaryen, that would be extremely interesting. But would, you know, further the rift between him and Cersei, and almost, I feel like, add a little bit of awkwardness between Jaime and Tyrion. Although maybe Jaime at the end would just kind of like accept it anyway and be like, oh, you're still my brother or something. I don't know. But, all right. So, wow. Marty, I'm going to go to you for one last one before we kind of move on to like the last topic.
Okay, so this is not really a theory. I mean, this is, to me, is this again, and I think we've already covered it, because this was basically, again, there's something about who's going to kill Cersei. You know, there's some who think that, as you said before, Tyrion would do it, again, going by the prophecy of the younger sibling. Some would do, Jaime would kill her, because, of course, even though they're twins, you know, Cersei came out first, so he was the, you know, is that how that works?
Yeah,
he's the younger sibling. But then, of course, there is the theory that the person who has had her on her list for the longest time is going to kill her, and that'd be Aya, or Arya, or whatever, however you...
Aya.
Yeah,
Aya.
Is going to kill her, and that would certainly not shock me either. I mean, because Aya could get in close to her, disguised as someone else, and slice her throat. I think it'd be more poetic justice if Jaime were to do it, or even Tyrion for that matter, but Aya certainly has killed about everybody else, so wouldn't shock me if she were to kill Cersei.
When you say Aya, you mean Arya, right?
Yes, that person. Are you going to nitpick on me on names? Yes,
I was like,
yes,
Aya, oh
Arya, yes.
I'm like, I'm missing a character here. Oh my gosh.
I made her up. Yes, Arya. my bad.
It's definitely late. I could have definitely used a cup of coffee before this, but totally fine. Arya obviously has her list of people that she needs to kill, and I believe Cersei is probably on it. But it wouldn't be satisfying. It wouldn't be satisfying if Arya was the one to kill Cersei, just because she, besides, standing beside Joffrey as Joffrey ordered Ned's execution, they really have no ties with each other. So I don't need Arya to kill Cersei. I need it to either be Jaime or to be Tyrion, just because that would be the best revenge and the best payback for all of the years of torture that Cersei has put the both of them through. Because, you know, obviously Tyrion is a given, but I believe that she also put Jaime through a degree of torture just by kind of having it where he never went on and really made anything else in his life. Because if you remember, and I don't know if this is necessarily touched upon in the series so much, or maybe it was just kind of kept in the books, but it was really implied that the whole reason why he decided to remain a king's guard is because the king's guard are not ever supposed to marry, because their whole dedication should be towards the king, and that way Cersei is married to, at that point, to Robert Baratheon, the king, and it kept Jaime close to Cersei. If Jaime hadn't ever been a Kingsguard, he would have went off and served with his father and then became married and yada yada, and probably really would have never seen Cersei. So they kept with each other because of that. So Cersei definitely put Tyrion and Jaime through a good degree of torture. It has to be either one of those. But Kathy, what do you kind of think about that? I know we touched upon it a little earlier, but would you think that Arya would be the one to kill her?
I don't think that that's not an unreasonable possibility because of being that she's, I think, is number one on her hit list anyway, because of her killing her father. Well, you know, making that happen. Well,
actually, Joffrey. Basically,
yeah,
but she told him not to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, don't do that. Okay. Well, whatever. But anyway, no, I that would not be surprising to me at all. Plus, she's kind of had them crazy eyes when she was killing. What was his name? Remember when she had the crazy look on her face and everybody going, why do they keep looking at her? Why is the camera still on her with that crazy look on her face? I can't think of his name. I got it.
You're asking the wrong person.
I know.
describe this situation. Guy's name.
You know, the guy that she made the pie out of.
You're talking about
the kid that she made the pie out of the kids.
Frey, when she
can kill anybody really because she's crazy. She's another crazy one, but I like her kind of crazy. Her kind of crazy is she's got a mission and she's going to complete her mission. That's all there is to it. Unless somebody, I mean, even when that chick, that other crazy chick from the faceless man thing was chasing her through the streets and she was just, oh my God, I just thought, oh my God, she's going to die. She's going to die here. She's going to die here. And she's on a mission. She's going to finish that list.
I say it makes sense that she could, but as you say, I mean, to me, it would be a better thing for Jaime or Tyrion to kill her.
Yeah.
I mean, but I say it's certainly, like I said, it's possible that she has the ability to do it, but I don't think that's the way they're going to go.
See, I don't believe so either. With Arya, you know, she's obviously a formidable person. I mean, she was sparring against Brienne, who, what, has like 2 feet on her?
No kidding.
And still kind of, you know, holding her own, and I believe she even, what, had a little, like, tussle with the Hound, who also has about, like, 2 or 3 feet on her. So, I mean, she definitely can hold her own and defeat people, and she's not to be underestimated just because she's, you know, quite small. Did you see, Marty, the Jimmy Fallon clip with Maisie Williams, by the way? That was so hilarious.
I did.
The April Fool's.
yes, where she made it sound like she leaked out something and walked off the
set. I said, what an excellent actress, because I really believed it for that moment.
She did a great job.
Her hands were shaking. She looked like she was getting ready to cry. And it was awesome. I was like, yeah, that was great.
That was so good because to me, I was like, I was thinking to myself when I was first watching because I didn't realize it was going to be an April Fool's thing. And I'm like, they wouldn't have aired this. I feel like they wouldn't have aired the episode if she just dropped the fact that Arya dies within the second episode, you know? I just feel like they wouldn't have aired that. I just feel like they wouldn't have aired that episode of Jimmy Fallon because they would have been like, alert, you know, abort, take it out.
And then they would have had to get the thing out from Men in Black and had the, you know, flashy thingy the audience, and it would have been had to have gone that way.
they all would have had to like sign non-disclosure agreements. I mean, it would have been really bad. Yeah, but no, Maisie Williams did an amazing job conveying that little skit there. That was just brilliant. Because I'm sorry, Maisie, if Arya really does die in Game of Thrones, I'm gonna be pissed. I'm gonna be pissed. She's gotta live. She's gotta be one of the few who survives and just kind of like watches Winterfell. Like her mission is finally complete. That's just what needs to happen. But I think we kind of went through a lot of great theories, Marty. I know that I kind of went to you for a ton of them, and I do appreciate you doing all that research. Kind of just wanted to touch upon really quickly, this is a little, you know, related but unrelated at the same time. So, you know, Sunday starts season 8, only 6 episodes, and that's it. Game of Thrones, no more. But at least the Game of Thrones that we know, because we're getting a prequel series. And I just want to kind of know, Marty, I'll start with you first. Does the idea of getting a prequel series kind of comfort you that there's going to be more quote-unquote Game of Thrones content? Or are you kind of like, no, because the characters that I all know and love, their stories are ending, and so I don't really feel like the prequel is going to fill that void once the show is ended?
It's good that we're having the prequel, man, but we're not going to know any of these people. I mean, we basically have almost grown with the Game of Thrones cast, so it's going to be kind of, you know, sad to see this whole thing end. And of course, it also depends on how they end it, because, you know, I don't want to Quantum Leap thing where I just get to the end, or like Lost where I get to the end and say, really? This sucks. I like the fact they're doing the prequel. Like I said, that'll help, but I don't know that it'll actually replace Game of Thrones as far as, and of course I can go back and watch them again. But it's going to be kind of bittersweet when the final 6th episode airs.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's the end of the era. It just doesn't feel like there's really any shows out there, maybe besides The Walking Dead, that has the presence that Game of Thrones does. But not even The Walking Dead really has that anymore. Because if you look, viewership has been really down, and Game of Thrones has kept their steadiness throughout all these years. So it's definitely the end of an era with this. With the prequel, I don't know if I'm necessarily that excited, just because I love these characters, but maybe they'll have a bunch of characters that we'll fall in love with and, you know, just still enjoy the world that this has all been built around. I heard that they're bringing in an actor, and I don't know his name again, my bad, but they're bringing in an actor for the prequel series who actually shot the unaired pilot episode for Game of Thrones. So that's kind of interesting, kind of coming full circle for that actor. I feel like when he got the phone call, he must have been like, oh, no, come on, guys. You know, I shot a whole episode for you, and you never aired it. So what's happening now? They're like, no, dude, it's definitely going to happen. It's definitely happening. We're not going to pull this again on you. And he's like, All right, if you say so. But, Kathy, are you kind of looking forward to the prequel series, or once this season's done of Game of Thrones, are you kind of done with Game of Thrones?
Well, you know, that's I think I like the fact that it is based on nothing. The Game of Thrones is based on it's not a actual period of time that they made up a bunch of crap about. It is its own thing. So it's really a prequel it's going to be its own thing too. So it could just be a new adventure into that has a relation to this, so it's almost like the story just continuing.
So it might be fun to have new characters and understanding what's going to, how things happened in the what we've been known and love of Game of Thrones. So.
And truth be known, we didn't know, unless you read the books, we didn't know any of the characters from Game of Thrones when we started. So it'll be a learning experience.
Yeah, exactly. I only read the books after I saw the series just because I really wanted to just get more content, really. But, I have faith that they'll be able to put together something that's really good. The only difference here is that I don't think that there's going to be book material that they're going to go by, just because I'll tell you right now, I don't know if you guys have read the books, but it starts basically as the show starts, and there are a lot of scenes in the book that pretty much were a shot-by-shot, faithful to the book in the series. I mean, I was reading several scenes, and I was like, I know this scene. It went out exactly the way it was in the book. So the only difference, I guess, here is that we're just going to be exploring backstory that was just kind of told to us but never shown. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm looking forward to it. I think that it'll be good. We'll just see what happens. But, yeah, so we covered a lot of ground in this episode of Geeks Against the Grain for Game of Thrones, which I've said a few times, but airs this Sunday. So make sure you guys, re-up your HBO subscription. If you don't have an HBO subscription, you can literally HBO Go, Amazon Prime, Hulu all have extensions for HBO so that you can watch, because you're definitely not going to want to miss any of this. Thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you, Kathy, for just hopping on at the very last second. I really appreciate this. You guys have both been amazing in this episode. For Marty, definitely make sure you check him out at gvnation.com. He's a spectacular contributor to the site, has a lot of great content that you don't want to miss. I really love your series, Marty, that you do now for the Marvel and DC characters, where you kind of let everyone know the backstory of characters that they may not be aware of, like the Eternals and such like that.
Appreciate that. Well, it's been fun. As I said, it was kind of nice actually having my wife with me, and got to talk about my favorite subject, Game of Thrones. So it's all win-win.
Exactly. We're going to have to get you back on, Kathy, for another show. We'll let you know what the subject will be a little more ahead of time than this.
That would always be good, but I take a lot of cues from my husband, so he's very helpful to me to be able to have a little bit of an intelligent conversation at times. But it was very enjoyable, and thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. Well, everyone have a fantastic night, and we'll catch you later.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.